Okay, it'll take a moment and I'll make us go live. So just a moment.
Good morning, Nate.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nate. Good morning, Mike.
Hello.
Okay, so it looks like Mark's going to try and re-log in, and hopefully his sound will work this time. The joys of technology.
So, Sarah, while you're there and smiling, is the letter to Secretary
Cheryl
at USDOT, is she still?
No.
You're meeting?
I sent him a template one, and I can resend it to you because now it's Secretary Buttigieg.
Okay, if you could correct salutation, that'd be terrific.
Yeah, I'll resend that over to you as soon as we get done with the meeting, because the one I sent basically is the exact same as what you gave before. It just had edits for the change in name of the program, the change in the secretary.
Okay.
Just to make it easy, because I don't want to write letters.
Sounds good. Thank you.
So, yeah, I'll get that over to you. Thank you for doing it.
All right.
Also, just for the record, I have to get out here earlier today, just in case.
No.
No, you can't. I think we got extra. We'll be all right.
I also have to say that I have another meeting that starts at continuing education class that starts at 9 o'clock. So
I don't think that'll be a problem. We should be done
by
then.
Get us out of here.
Yeah, and then Therese, can you just keep a lookout for Eunice for when she tries to log in to let her in?
Yes.
I'm expecting her anytime now.
Okay, we're live. So
we can go?
You're good to go.
Good morning, everyone. Bring the Northgate Urban Renewal Advisory Board meeting for June 3rd. Can we do roll call?
Sure, it's 8:05 a.m. Jared Martin.
Here.
Mike White.
Here.
Barb Resch. Not present. Nate Levin.
Present.
Mark Adam. Not present. Pedro Mel, excused. Mike Alley.
Here.
Dana Ballard. Brittany Davidson. Cruikshank.
Well, let's get going. Can I get approval of the agenda? Get a first.
This is Brittany. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Mike Galley, second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And can we get a motion for the approval of the minutes of the April 1st meeting? Got a first? Nate, it'll be the first. Can I get a second?
Mike Alley, second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, so we don't have any public comment today. So the first informational item, we're going to do a grant update with Tori Banford. Good morning, Tori. I'll go ahead and hand it over to you.
Yeah, happy to be here. Again, I'm Tori Banford. I work with Sarah at the City of Salem Urban Development Department. I'm happy to be here. I think the last time I spoke to you guys a couple of years ago on the happenings in West Salem, similar to this group, there's an urban renewal advisory board for West Salem. Brittany's on that group, so good to see you again, Brittany. I've been working with Sarah on the North Gateway Urban Renewal Area Grant since Renee left us, unfortunately, went to Oregon State.
And ignores
so
the time.
Just a quick reminder, the North Gateway Grant is a 50% matching grant that may be used for new building construction, building rehabilitation, manufacturing equipment, affordable housing, and development infrastructure assistance. approve a site, it's supposed to be in the North Gateway Urban Renewal Area, obviously. There is a $300,000 maximum for the grants. There's an option, if the project warrants it, to bring it as an exception request for recommendation to this group and then to the Urban Renewal Agency for consideration. Applicants submit the grant application, supporting materials to me for review, and the director of the City of State Urban Development Department approves them. Applicants have 1 year to complete their project and may request an extension if they are making progress on their project, but they haven't completed their work within that time frame. So I'm happy to say that there continues to be strong interest in the program. As recipients have completed grants for affordable housing and manufacturing equipment recently, there are new grants that have been issued for building rehabilitation. I mean, that's pretty much the extent that I have as an update, but I'm happy to answer questions on grants that have been completed, new grants, or anything related to the program.
Can you give us any update on anything we can see coming as far as things that are looking to be approved that we haven't seen yet?
Sure. So we have probably the most recent one was issued. It's going to be located on 1793 Silverton Road, and it's a pretty significant rehabilitation of the existing buildings there. They will almost won't be recognizable once the work's complete. So it's a combination of like a cafe, a restaurant, things of that nature. The architectural drawings look pretty neat. I'm sure as that project picks up, they'll probably have, I'm not sure, a lot of instances when they put the construction site fencing up, they usually put an architectural rendering. In this case, I hope they do, because the architectural drawings look pretty neat. You know, and similarly, we put our City of Salem blue sign up there to identify that it's a renewal project. So that's probably the biggest project that's been committed. It's a $300,000. So it's the full grant amount. So that one looks pretty neat. And then we had another one for requests for recommendation to this group. And then
is that one across, is that near the fairgrounds? I'm trying to picture where that's at.
Yeah, it's near the fairgrounds. I could bring up a map, so if you want to see it, location, been committed as a 300,000. So I've been mostly responding to already committed grants. I've issued 2 grants. The other one is also a restaurant, and it's just rehabilitation of an existing building, ADA accessibility. I believe that one's around 120,000, so it's not a full grant amount.
So I'll jump in real quick. Are you trying to pull up that map, Tori?
Yeah, I'm pulling up the.
Okay. So part of the reason why we asked Tori, just to give you guys an update, is obviously over the last, 12 to 14 months, we had gone from a very robust grant program that couldn't keep enough money in it to really just not seeing a lot of activity. And as part of the budget process, obviously the board recommended refilling with a lot of funds for these different grant programs. And so, between Tori and myself, he's issuing some commitments, but we're both getting inquiries. We're getting soft inquiries and harder inquiries. And so, it's really starting to feel like things are starting to pick up again. Obviously not back to where we were, about 2 years ago. But between what Tori's been kind of, talking to folks and I've been talking to folks, we're getting a good amount of people that are interested in the program. And they're also interested in doing a wide variety of different types of projects. And so that's the other thing I just wanted to make sure the board was aware of. We're not hearing from people that all want to do, that are existing businesses that want to do the exact same thing, which is maybe some type of expansion, which is always great. We're hearing from people that want to do an expansion. We're hearing from new people that want to come into the area. We're hearing from people that are, interested in doing some type of affordable housing, multifamily housing. So there's a lot of stuff sort of percolating right now, which is really exciting. And that's part of the reason why we asked Tori to just come and talk to the board, because it had felt like we had this really busy, robust program and so many things were happening in North Gateway, and then it's just been so quiet for a while. we just wanted to share kind of the things that we're hearing that are happening so that, that the board was aware that there's some activity starting to kind of come out of everything that, that we've kind of been under for the last 18 months.
Sure.
Did you find it,
Dory? I think that it's, I know that working in the same office, overhearing the amount of activity that there was, I mean, you couldn't get funds available quick enough. So it's not that level. I would say it's a healthy level. You know, we're still issuing grant disbursements for grants that were committed, and we continue to get applications. So I would say it's a healthy stream. You know, it's a manageable amount, I guess, as compared to what it was before. And that's, you know, to be expected, especially with infill sites, you know, when there's an opportunity for everything to pull together and the grant happens to be there to help hopefully make the project happen sooner, then that'll happen. But yeah, I think that here, I'll show you the rendering first and I'll bring up the location. That's my full screen. That's just everything. Hold on a second. So this is the location here, 1793 Silverton Road. Let's see if I can drop the guy down so you can get a sense of what it looks like right now. What it looks like now, and then I'll show you what the proposed architectural drawings are. See that?
Oh yeah.
So considerable difference. So that's the most recent one. That grant commitment actually went out Friday. So.
Oh cool.
Yeah. I think they still have to go through some permitting and things like that. So it might be a little bit before you start to see activity out there.
Well, excellent. Anyone else have any questions for Tori? Nobody?
Happy to keep talking until Eunice gets here. I don't know what.
The one thing I wanted to kind of just let the board know is one of the perks to having Tori do the grant program is up till Renee left, Riverfront was handled by one team, North Gateway was handled by a different team, and West Salem was handled by a separate team. None of them overlapped. Even though our programs are all very similar, they were managed kind of in different silos. The nice thing with this situation is with Tori handling North Gateway and West Salem is now there's going to be a little bit more, I mean, even though we have different guidelines, a lot of things are the same. And so there will be a little bit more consistency just because the same person is doing it. I mean, even if you're working off the same guidelines, we all know when different people are looking at it, different people can interpret things differently. So I think that's just a really nice benefit that we have. We have people that are looking in West Salem or looking in North Gateway, and they're familiar with how the grant programs work. They're already familiar with Tori. They're familiar with how he works. And I think that's just an extra benefit that we sort of have to folks that are looking to develop.
So question for Tori and Sarah as well. I've been approached by some folks that are interested in doing some credit-based low-income housing, and I wanted to find out what the other grants were available. I know that the Tokarski project on Portland Road for the housing units got several different grants, and I wanted to inquire if you could possibly give me the numbers on how those apply.
Yeah, I think so there is the affordable grant. I think the maximum is still 300,000 unless it goes through the exception process. So, you know, I think it's just safe to say, just assume that it's a 300,000 grant that could be applied to an affordable housing project. And then if, you know, it's unusual circumstances, then you can probably go through, you know, the process to see if the agency would support additional funding.
Yeah, in general, affordable housing fits without having to go through an exception. So we have the two different pools. So the thing to remember is even though we have the affordable housing grant and then we have the development infrastructure grant, those are just, the restrictions are just a lot more tighter on those to make sure that they're used for those purposes. But those types of projects are still fundable under our main grant program. So the biggest thing with the affordable housing is just tied to how much they're going to charge. And we have some really specific language in terms of the percentage tied to, you know, under market rate that they would need to charge in order to qualify. And it's pretty easy to do that. And I can forward that over to you. There were
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, there were some other funding sources that went towards the Tucharsky project that were beyond. For instance, I know that North Gateway gave money, and it was tied to actually the infrastructure. So this URA, I believe, paid to help have the road done, things that would make sense from an infrastructure standpoint. And I believe that that was just approved through the budget process as a standalone project. And then the facility itself got, you know, different funds from the state and different agencies. I have a list of where they were able to pull all their funds from, and I'd be happy to send that over to you as well.
That would be very, very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. Because I know it was really complicated how they ended up pulling everything together. And to be honest, with a lot of the funds that are starting to roll out through the Recovery Act, you know, we're still getting news every day, and there could be more opportunities that are coming up through different agencies for folks to get funding for things like affordable housing and whatnot, because, you know, there's millions that are going to start trickling into different organizations. I don't know where that came from. I muted myself, so I know it wasn't me. But
sorry, this is Mark. I think my computer is not working, so I'm trying my phone, but it's a new phone, so it's the first time, and I think that was me. So
not a problem. But yeah, so I think there's going to be a lot of other opportunities that'll start coming out. And what I'll try to do as well for the board is, you know, as we're getting information and we have some substantial information that would make sense, I'll try to kind of keep boarding that out for folks so that you're aware of opportunities that might be coming up that you can share with your constituents and things like that. Because it is really complicated right now, and it just feels like there's a lot of moving pieces. But anywhere we have funds that somebody can access, we really want to share that for sure.
The conversation that I've had with these folks is that they are comfortable doing anything from 30 to 50 units. So that could make a substantial dent.
Yeah, I talked to somebody not too long ago who was looking at some of the older motels on Portland Road, who was interested in maybe doing something. I don't know if it's the same individual as maybe.
It is not. This is this is new new construction.
This would be too. They actually wanted to tear them down and then develop affordable housing. But who knows? So yeah, I'll forward that out to you, both the grant and then what we use to help for the Portland Road for the Tucharsky project.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Is Eunice here yet?
Don't see Eunice yet. I am checking Teams really fast to see if she's active and coming. I don't want to make everybody hang out if something came up. I said I talked to, she's here.
Here she is.
I talked to her early this morning. She's connecting her audio right now.
Hey Eunice.
Hi.
Sorry. Hi Eunice.
Your timing's perfect. We were just wrapping up the grant conversation.
Great.
So you got it. Floor is yours.
And if you want, since you're in your car, I'm happy to jump to the Our Salem site if you want. Do you plan on showing the map or anything like that? You just let me know.
Yeah, okay. That'd be great.
Okay, Corey.
I'll bring it up.
So shall I just chat?
Yeah, you can start. Okay. I'll bring it up here.
Okay. So I'm Eunice. Thanks for having me back. Managing the Our Salem project. Just wanted to give an update of kind of where we are in the project. And I can give a quick overview of what the project is if that's helpful. Yes?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we are working on an update to our comprehensive plan. It's a multi-year project that we kicked off actually in 2018. And the comprehensive plan really is kind of the guiding framework, the goals, policies, and map that guide, again, kind of how we grow and develop in the next 10, 20, 30 years. So it's really the long-term vision for how we want Salem to grow and develop. We had a major milestone in the project back in March, where we brought a vision document to the city council. And that vision document really included a broad range of goals that we that really touched on everything from housing, economic development, transportation, natural resources, a pretty broad range of topics. And it's really the culmination of like a year and a half, 2 years of outreach that we did in the community, kind of our visioning process. So we brought those goals as well as a very high level proposed comprehensive plan map to the council and asked for acceptance. So at the time, our goal really was to make sure we're heading in the right direction. So it wasn't a formal public hearing adoption process, but we were asking them like, are we heading in the right direction? Should we continue down this path and start working on all the details, understanding that the framework is these goals as well as this proposed comprehensive plan map. So the council did accept the vision. And so since March, we've been working on all those details. We had weekly meetings on policy ideas, where each week on Wednesday, we talked about a different topic like housing or transportation or the environment. And we just wrapped those up last week, I think. And we still have a survey online. So if you want to check out some of the policy ideas and give input, that survey's online. And in addition to that, we launched our interactive map. And so the interactive map is the detailed proposals for zoning changes across the city. So it reflects that higher level map that we brought to the council in March, but it's more detailed. So instead of like the map saying commercial, like a property should be commercial, it says commercial office or commercial retail or commercial general. Or if instead of saying multifamily, it'll say multifamily one or two. So it will actually get down to the zoning level. So that interactive map. Yeah.
I just wanted to show, so as far as getting there, so from the City of Salem, Salem page, there's an interactive, so you click here and then it brings up this neat map and it allows you to interact with it. So it gives you this notice as soon as you come on and you can go in and if you have a particular area you want to look at, or if you want to add a note, you can interact with the map. So, sorry, I just wanted to let people know what they were looking at.
Can you show them where the comment push pin is on the top corner.
Try to get to North Gateway.
Yeah.
So, at the top gateway, also right here.
Yeah, so if you want to drop a comment, you can use that kind of push pin and you can, you know, you'll see everyone's comments there. You can read everyone else's comments. And if you go to the North Gateway area, I don't think there have been that many comments. The main proposal kind of along Portland Road is to expand the uses on the southeast side to mixed use. So that's the area that's currently commercial retail. And so all the commercial retail uses would still be allowed. It would mostly be an addition of the allowance of housing outright. So that dark purple color that you see along Portland Road on the south side is mixed use 3. That would be a new mixed use zone. So it's similar to mixed use 1 and 2 that we currently have in that it allows a mix of uses. You can do commercial, you can do, you know, retail, office, or housing, or you can do it all together, but it doesn't require a mix of uses, if that makes sense. It's meant to be a very flexible zone. It's different from the mixed use 1 and 2 zones in that it allows a broader range of commercial uses. Again, those uses that are allowed already in the commercial retail zone. So we don't have any pins there, but it would be great to have your input either during this meeting or if you want to drop pins on the map. The map's going to be open for comments through June 11th, and then we'll take all of that input and make revisions to the map and then present that back to the community before we go through the adoption process. We don't anticipate going through the adoption process until the end of the year. That's the goal, and that's when there'll be public hearings at the City Council and the Planning Commission. So it's still in a draft phase. So this will be the time if you have comments on that area. And then, so that's the map. So there's the map, the policies, and then the other thing we're working on is the actual zoning code. There's a subcommittee that's made out of four city councilors and four planning commissioners, and they're really focused on specific code changes related to greenhouse gas emissions. So, for example, they're looking at what should the parking requirements be along kind of our frequent transit routes, so some of our major corridors, what should the densities be, what should the heights be. So not really what should the zone be, but what regulations within each of those zones, how should they be changed to really increase or encourage housing along our bus lines, essentially. That's kind of the goal, again, to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So that subcommittee's met twice already, and they're going to meet again next week on June 9th. So they're open to the public if you're really interested in kind of zoning code work as well. And the goal, again, is to bring all of the information, so the actual comprehensive plan as an update, so with the goals and the policies, the zoning code, and then the zoning map through the adoption process together at the end of the year. At least start at the end of the year.
I've got a question. This is Mark here.
Hi.
Hi. So you're actually going to be changing the zoning on some properties then?
Yes.
Okay, is that with the approval of the property owners, or is this something that you're just going to go in and do?
Ultimately, it's actually an approval by city council. So it's a legislative act. It's not, there's no developers or applicants behind all the proposed changes. The changes would be approved by city council. We did send, and we have sent several flyers to the property owners. And so a lot of property owners have been calling me and emailing me and dropping comments. And so they've been weighing in, but ultimately it is a decision of the city council.
And the motivation behind that is what, more tax revenue when you change the zoning?
No, the idea is really to capture the vision again for how Salem wants to grow. So one of the big takeaways from all of the outreach has been that there's a desire to see more mixed use along our major corridors, again with bus service. And so you'll see that. We do need to try to meet our housing needs. Well, we do need to meet our housing needs. So we're looking for more land that can be developed for multifamily long-term. So you'll see multifamily zone changes, our proposals across the city. So we're really trying to achieve some of the goals that have been laid out through the visioning process, through the map changes.
Have you taken into consideration that the housing you're planning to put in an industrial area is not going to be real desirable, so therefore it could turn into kind of a bad neighborhood, so to speak? You know, you stick a house in the middle of an industrial park, and not a house, but I'm assuming it's going to be an apartment. That's not going to be very desirable for people. So are you considering the impact of that kind of a change?
Yeah, so one of the things we heard during our outreach, particularly on the North Broadway area, or North Downtown area, North Gateway area, sorry, is that people didn't want to encourage the housing necessarily on the side where all the industrial land currently is. And so we changed the initial very, again, high-level proposal from the, maybe it was last year, to have it on the southern side or the southeastern side, because that's in the current commercial retail zone, housing is allowed. It's allowed through a commercial, through a conditional use permit. So there's a public hearing process. So you have seen housing obviously developed in that area. There's been new multifamily there. This would make the process easier. It would allow the housing without going through essentially a public hearing process. So we did hear that people did not want us to change mixed use on the industrial side, where you see that gray and light purple color, because that's kind of the, you know, the future use. People saw that as continuing to stay industrial, and so we are not proposing to put housing there.
Yeah, it's here near the red single family, so you already have multifamily, single family, commercial retail on that side.
Are you changing any industrial to housing?
There are areas, so for example, inner West Salem, there's an industrial area kind of close to Edgewater that we're proposing to change to mixed use, not to multifamily. Mixed use does allow housing. And that's been
does it still allow industrial? So like someone can still put, say, a manufacturing plant on that that property if it's mixed use? Or are we getting rid of industrial to build houses?
No, that existing industrial zone, so the industrial uses that are there now can stay and they can be improved, and but the idea is that in the future, if they were to redevelop, they would redevelop to the uses that would be allowed in that mixed-use zone, which is more broadly commercial, some light industrial, but not kind of the heavy manufacturing and the industrial general zone that is there now. So it's basically saying, like, today you can be as you are and you can stay and you can improve, but long-term the vision is for those areas to transition to a mix of uses.
And we're already seeing that as someone who works in West Salem. The property owners have been heavily involved over there. So I anticipate future movement away from industrial. It's already kind of difficult to navigate a lot of that part of West Salem. So we've already seen food processors like Oregon Fruit move outside from West Salem to Madrona, let's say, you know, somewhere that's logistically a better fit.
And I will say that, you know, the board gave a lot of really great information to Eunice early on about sort of, you know, not wanting to take away the uses that we currently have in our gateway. We are a unique mix of sort of different types of things, but we do have, you know, industrial is part of who we are up in this area. And in addition, you know, Tori and I both had some really great conversations with Eunice. And I think that's why you kind of see it's set up the way it is, so that in general, for North Gateway at least, and Eunice, feel free to correct me if I misspoke, all we're really doing for the most part is expanding some of the uses that we can that can be done, but we're not taking away from what you've been able to do, and we're definitely not taking away from our industrial assets that we have in the corridor.
One of the concerns that I have is that the move toward mixed use in industrial areas, and so much of Portland Road has been a higher occupancy of some pretty serious industrial development. And if you take a look at what's there and you start boxing it in with housing and apartments and commercial activity, it becomes less interesting for industrial use. One of the basic realities in taxation is that residential use and occupancies require substantially more tax dollars than the revenue that they produce. Whereas industrial primary revenue generators, such as the Freeze Pack and some of the larger organizations like the one that Mike represents, those properties produce 30 to 40% more tax revenue than they require or absorb in municipal services. So the industrial base is the balancing act for residential and commercial. And this is just a simple comment that as we continue to encroach into industrial and not look to develop industrial, we are effectively eroding our revenue to be able to produce goods and services. And because I can't help myself, and sorry, I have to apologize from the soapbox, but this morning's newspaper brought a budget recap proposal. And I will encourage all the board members to take a look at that, because last year's police funding was around 92 or 93 million, and next year's police funding is figured at 58 million. And we're going to an FTE of 320 being reduced to 240. So to say that it's going to have an effect on us as property owners, business operators, etc., as far as a tax on property, real estate, vehicle equipment, fleets, etc., because of lack of policing is a concern. And so that's a real aside from what Eunice has to say. But the concern is that as we affect our financial base, we are affecting our ability to have a balanced community. So I have to express some real concern. So much soapbox.
Denise, I have the same concern. Can you tell me how much zoning is being that was, say, commercial mixed use is going to be opened up for, say, industrial manufacturing?
How many current mixed use? So we don't have a lot of mixed use in the city now. Most of our land that we're proposing to zone to mixed use is currently a commercial zone. So again, it would allow commercial uses, and we're adding residential as a permitted use as opposed to public hearing. There are not a lot of locations, I think, where we're adding a lot of new industrial. In the Fairview area, Fairview Industrial is one area where we're trying to make it easier to do industrial commercial and adding some land there. But there aren't a lot of areas where we're going from industrial general to mixed use, except for Inner West Salem. And Nate, as you know, we've talked before about the area near Sunnyview. We had proposed initially to open that up to commercial uses, and we heard that that is likely going to remain an industrial area, so we did remove that proposal. So I don't think there are other areas that we're really making that transition. And again, the Fairview area is really the area where we're trying to help make it easier to do some light industrial and commercial.
When we first started talking about this, I thought that I misheard it, but I thought the whole goal was trying to make zoning changes a little easier. Uh-huh. In the whole part in this plan. Am I incorrect?
Trying to make the process easier?
Yeah. Because you guys are just going in and changing zoning to make it easier to do different uses, right?
Uh-huh.
Why aren't we just making the process for someone to move into a spot easier to change the zoning?
So we're trying to make it easier for, so we are making process changes, but I don't think it's, we're not changing, like a zone change is still going to be a public hearing process. That is not changed. We've tried to make it easier through the years to not meet our standards, for example, like through an adjustment as opposed, which is a staff level decision, as opposed to a variance, which is a public hearing. So we've tried to make process improvements, but the goal of this project is really to, again, accomplish or help move towards the broader vision across the city. And that's why it's a city kind of initiated city council legislative act, as opposed to parcel by parcel, saying like this developer versus this. I just wanted to add two quick things. We did talk to the county assessors quite a bit because there's been concern about property taxes and impact of zone changes on property taxes and what does that mean. And a rezoning of a property doesn't impact your property taxes. The trigger for kind of a reassessment is if, say for example, you have an industrial piece of land and say we changed you to like single family or what have you. We changed you to a different use, a different zone. That change doesn't actually trigger the reassessment until you take advantage and actually redevelop or reuse your property for a new use that wasn't previously allowed. So, and that's kind of the trigger. So if you're, say, in a commercial zone today and say housing wasn't allowed, and then we change you to like multifamily and now housing is allowed, and you actually redevelop from a commercial use to housing, that's the trigger. If you stay commercial forever, there is no kind of reassessment. That's actually in state law, because people have asked us to put that in writing, and that I don't have the ORS offhand, but it is in state law. What's the other point I was going to make? We also worked with urban development, because and Annie and Tori and Sarah, there is a push to look for other areas for industrial land, and we've talked to the state to see if there's state land that we could rezone to industrial. So that process is kind of ongoing. and just trying to see, like, is there other places? So that is a concern. Go ahead.
Eunice, I have one suggestion, recommendation, and that's on the rezoning in West Salem. Please consider that so many of the areas that are currently IG and are going toward a mixed use be reevaluated, and that you very definitely consider some of those larger properties as IC instead of one of the mixed use zones. And the reason being is that there are multiple tenants and multiple properties over there that literally cannot be sold or released if the mixed use zoning goes through and the IG effectively goes away. They go in to take one of the larger machine shops that has a multi-million dollar equipment base in it, and they can't partition the building into a couple of 50,000 square foot areas because of the fact that it's existing non-conforming. So the transition zone, if the city is absolutely against maintaining the IG zone for those buildings that are clearly IG, then please consider going to an IC that at least allows the possibility of some transition use.
Yeah, I appreciate that comment. I mean, we have been working with the property owners and West Rab and others in West Salem kind of on the vision for that area for quite some time. And, you know, I just want to clarify, this is not like a city to just like pick areas for things. This came out of all the outreach we did, and there seems to be broad support for that. But I'm happy to circle back with West Rab and see if that sentiment and others to see if that has changed, and work with Tori on that.
It hasn't changed. And also, I think it's important to note that this is the comprehensive plan. So you have the continued use, so that industrial use can continue. It's really increasing the flexibility. If there's a vision in 20 years to see manufacturing leave that area, comprehensive plan's already designated. You don't have to go through a comp plan zone change to convert it to a mixed use. That's the intent. And it's been supported by the group. Any other comments for Eunice?
Well, thanks, Eunice. We appreciate the update. Did you have anything else? Sorry.
No, I don't think so. I'm hoping by the end of the summer or early fall, we'll have everything kind of revised to present back to the community before we go to council. Our goal is to have a work session at the City Council and Planning Commission in October, if everything's pulled together. It's kind of a lot to do by then. And that would be before an adoption process. So, you know, the council, the planning commission, and the community could weigh in again before we started the adoption process. So I'm happy to come back to this group as things are revised if you want me to.
Okay, thank
excellent.
You.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Eunice.
Bye. Anybody wants to get out and about this morning, Eunice is going to be at the West Salem Farmers Market, right?
Oh. Yep. I'm about to step outside to the farmers market, so maybe we'll hear about more visions out here.
So feel free to go visit her this morning, and thank you for doing this from your car. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right. Does anybody else have anything to say? I know we got a couple guys that need to get out of here.
Okay. I will just throw out.
Awesome.
We'll try to keep, because it is summer, everyone is busy, and I know everyone is trying to get out this summer, so we're going to try to keep to our every other month schedule like we normally do in the summer months through October. So unless something that requires action comes up, we will try to cancel July, meet in August, try to cancel September, and then we'd meet again October, November, and then potentially December as well. So kind of try to cluster everything into the fall. So we'll let you guys know about that a couple weeks out if anything comes up, but just trying to take into account people are out and about, and our meetings fall right before long weekends, and I know a lot of people like to get out of town or are trying to wrap stuff up, so we'll try to take that into account moving forward.
Excellent. Well, thanks everybody for showing up, and meeting adjourned. We'll see you in a couple months.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks. Bye-bye.